You're listening to Life Church Podcast with Pastor Bill Carpenter.
We have just been talking about our identity. We've been talking about the identity of our church. We've been talking about vision, and we've done that for months and months and months, and it's all been very, very good. I want to shift here for a little bit as we move forward. We're gonna intertwine all of this that we've been talking about in this new series that we're going to start today. But we're also going to really focus right now on the season that we are in. And so I really want to encourage you to get kind of a revelation of resurrection right now. I really want you to be very intentional about seeing the season, if you will, that we're going into right now. This is a really, really big deal. All right. This is it. This is our time. This is the apex, if you will, of the church, is this idea that Jesus died, that he was resurrected from the dead, and that he has ascended to the Father, and that he's living with the Father. He's at his right hand, and he's doing this amazing thing called intercession. And he's praying for you. He's praying specifically for you and for your life and for the destiny that he has for you and all of that. Praying for your preservation. This is an amazing idea. How many of you think about that every day? You know, you think from day to day. It slips from me sometimes. And I need to come back and visit that reality that Jesus loves me so much. That when I was a sinner, he saw me and he still was willing to die for me. And not only that, but when he died, he was resurrected. He fought hell for me. He overcame. And now he's sitting there with the Father. And I am the object of conversation between the Father and the Son. I am the object of their devotion, their love, and their care. And so are you. And that is amazing, man. That is really exciting and affirming. Well, if you ask me, it is anyway. Okay, but I want us to get that kind of revelation, to become aware of these things in the next several weeks. And so I'm going to bring some sermons to you over the next few weeks that hopefully will help us to do that and will also challenge us very, very much. We're going to talk about in the coming weeks a fasted life. We're going to talk about what it means to simplify and to give up. And to live out of a lifestyle that is fasted, not just food, but other things. We're going to talk about giving, about generosity. We're going to talk about how generous God is to give his own son to die on the cross and to resurrect him and to promise us such an amazing ending to the story, and that is the second coming of Jesus Christ, you know, and to allow us to experience that epic kind of finale, if you will, of his coming back and receiving those who are dead and who are alive, okay? And so we're going to talk a lot about having a generous spirit. We're going to talk and really press into this idea that Elder Dave gave to us last week of prayer. And we're going to talk more about prayer, really focusing in on the idea of you and God having relationship and conversing with one another and having a prayer life that's filled with power because of the power that has been released on the earth because Jesus Christ died for us and rose again from the dead. All right. So these are some of the things we're gonna talk about, the idea of baptism, and in particular believers' baptism, the Sunday that we baptize. We're of course going to talk about that. But that whole idea of dying, being buried, and being resurrected, and the beautiful picture that water baptism plays in expressing that to us. All right, we're going to talk about a little bit about that. We're going to throw in here some of the parables, and we're going to talk to you about parables. Now, we're not just going to talk randomly about different parables, but we're going to choose specific ones, of course, being led by the Spirit, but also from the standpoint that we really want to challenge you in this particular series. We want to really challenge you, and we're going to bring to you some of the really hard teachings of Christ. All right, we're going to wrestle with them together, and how they look, and how they impact us. But more than that, how we walk out these parables today in our lives and in our relationships with one another and with the world, and of course with God. So these are going to be very, very challenging messages, hopefully, to you. That's our prayer. That's what we're praying for, is that we are extremely challenged in this season. And I was saying this morning, you know, I really feel like that this is that place where we are going to say, okay, now we're moving away from talking to doing. We're going to move away from just hearing and listening to that place of doing. That's a marked transition for a body of believers. When you get away from just talking about who you are and just wrestling and working through your identity to this place where you actually feel and receive and act on the commissioning of God. All right? And that's where we're going to take you over the next 7 to 8 weeks, is into the commissioning of God for your life. And you will be doing what we have described to you is Life Church and you. All right? And so hopefully we're going to have an opportunity for becoming covenant members in this church during some of this time. There's just going to be a lot of things that are really going to solidify our identity and the identity of Life Church and get us going out there and doing something for God. So I'm very, very excited for this window of time. I'm very, very excited that we can now begin preparation for going out and doing the work of the kingdom, all right? And so that's what I want to talk to you today about, is preparation. I want to talk to you a little bit about preparing yourself not only for Easter, but preparing yourself for Easter and beyond. And so the title of this series is something like, Get Ready, Jesus is Coming, all right? Get ready, Jesus is coming. And so we're going to just kind of start that this morning. And over the next 7 to 8 weeks, that's where we're going to be, all right? And we're really going to be challenging each other. And we're going to be giving you some things that you can do to really, really help you, all right? So we're going to take seriously this idea of Lent as a season, all right? It's going to be a season of time for us. There are a lot of Protestant churches today that have kind of sort of waned on the idea of celebrating Lent. You know, nobody likes to give up anything anyway, you know. And a lot of Protestant churches have kind of moved away from more traditional or more liturgical kinds of concepts in the life of the church. Well, maybe we could resurrect Lent a little bit here for us today, okay? Maybe Lent could become something powerful for you and I. Maybe we can spend this time, because this time of Lent is like about 40 days, and it's a season that really commemorates the time that Jesus was in the desert for the 40-day period just prior to beginning his public ministry. All right? So it's a season of time of preparation in the life of Jesus. And then at the end of that 40 days, basically he fulfills his mandate, his commission, if you will, and enters into his actual public ministry. And so it's very fitting, I think, for Life Church. It's very fitting for us to look at this time. Now, if you count from Ash Wednesday to Easter, it's a little bit more than 40 days, but that's because Sundays are not recognized in there as Lent. They're like mini Easters, all right? They're like micro Easters. And so the Sundays or the Sabbaths were not a part of the 40-day thing, okay? So each Sunday was a rest from this idea of Lent. And so if you did want to give up something, you could, and on Sundays you could just like go crazy, you know, and do whatever. Okay, no, you can't. But anyway, this is where we're at. We're at this place, and I want to challenge us to give up something, all right? Not in the sense of picking something and giving it up, but in this sense of being biblically accurate, and that is present your body a living sacrifice. And I'm asking you to give up yourself for the next 40 some odd days. Just give it up, all right? Just lay down your life, all right? Die to yourself and live to Jesus. Let yourself, let your flesh, this core thing that we've talked about and described as wanting to rule us, but we're not under the law of sin and death. We're not under the flesh. We're under a new law, the law of life and spirit. And so in the law of life and spirit, let's be resurrected in life. All right? And let's live life as we talked about last Sunday, this river of life flowing out of us, this amazing thing called the Holy Spirit in us. Just let it be released. Let it come alive, if you will, for us. And so over this next 40 some odd days, let's take a journey together and let's begin to lay down ourselves, even on our little Easters, let's lay down ourselves, okay? And let's really let God come alive inside of us, all right? So we're going to look at a season season here that traditionally in the church has been characterized by prayer, by penitence, by almsgiving, by self-denial, you know, all of that stuff. Like I said, many groups do give up something during Lent. I want this season to be characterized by submission and obedience. That we submit to God, we yield to what God is trying to say to us in this season as we bring these messages to us, okay? And so as we submit to this to what the Spirit is speaking to the church in this hour, then we act in obedience. We respond. We act upon the message. We act upon the truth, upon the Word, and we are obedient to the things that God is speaking to us. So when we preach about a fasted life, hey, we're going to obey that. We're in some capacity, we're going to walk that out with one another, both corporately and individually. We can do that, okay? So here's the theme. Get ready. Jesus is coming, all right? Get ready. Jesus is coming, and He's coming again. And so we want that to become sort of paramount to all that we are doing, is this idea that Jesus is coming. But I want you to understand something. I want you to live as Jesus is coming back soon. Not because of the current messages that are out there, or the prophecies that are out there, or the ones that will be unfolded in the weeks and the months ahead. Not because of the catastrophic and horrific events that we're seeing around the world that are you know, literally, no pun intended, earth shaking. But also not because we're looking at dominions and kingdoms and nations and governments fall. And men lose their place of authority in these nations that they've ruled for years and decades as monarchies. I'm not talking about looking around and seeing things. I'm talking about living day by day out of the reality that you are convinced in your heart that Jesus could come at any time. That there's this underlying current inside of you that's stirring you. All these other things confirm what you already know. What's already in you, a truth that you've been taught from childhood, something that's been there all along, but maybe it's grown dormant with the cares of life or the busyness of life or just the apathy of the kingdom and the church life and the church world and whatever. Maybe it's just disappointment in your own life has just brought you to the place where you really don't have this excitement, this edge about you anymore for life in the church. And I believe that one reason that happens and what all of that stuff does to us is it numbs us to the reality that Jesus is coming back, that Jesus is coming again on the earth, and living in such a way, living out of belief, living out of conviction, living out of truth. All right? And so I want to challenge you and I that that's where we are. So today I'm going to ask you to prepare yourself. Get ready. All right? Let's go into Philippians and look. I would like for this to be kind of a big part of the theme of these next few weeks of messages. I want to talk to you here about preparing yourself, and I want us to look at Jesus as our model. So we're going to go through this passage in Philippians. All right? And the whole idea here is imitating the humility of Jesus Christ. Verse 1, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, all right, if these things are there for you, all right, then make my joy complete, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Could we just stop there for a moment and talk just briefly? I want and I desire for Life Church to be so unified. We talk about unity in the kingdom. We talk about unity around the world. We talk about the unity of the church. We talk about one church. We talk about all of these things. And we're after that. We're after unity. We're after harmony. We're after coming together. But it has to start at the beginning. And for us, the beginning is Life Church. This is where we live life. This is where we do life. This is where we are day to day and week to week, living the kingdom out. And I want to challenge you and I that we become more unified in the vision of Life Church than ever before. All right? We're going to try to unfold that more clearly as we go forward. That's what we've been working on all along here, even when we've been doing personal ministry into your life. It isn't just because we love you and you are so special, though we love you and you are so special. It is because we understand that we can do so much more together than we could ever do alone. And God's intent is never that anyone be out there alone doing their own thing. I mean, really, He sent them out two by two initially. And so God's not about investing in Lone Rangers and blessing Lone Rangers so much as I believe He is in the corporate unity of the body and of us doing things together with one another, living this life together, uniting together, not only in fellowship, but also in mission. And so I really want to challenge us that we're living out of a unified mission and a unified vision together as the body of Christ. Because that, I believe, not only makes Paul happy in the day of the church at Philippi here, but I believe it makes God happy today. How good and pleasant it is when the brothers dwell together in unity and in harmony. So I want us to be together. I want us to have this one sense of spirit and mind. And then he goes on in the next verse to say, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. And here's where we get to the heart of the matter. Rather, in humility, value one another above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. This is where we're going to insert some of those parables. We're going to really challenge you about getting out of yourself and getting your eye and your focus and your heart and your desire and your spirit on others. And really giving and really serving and really caring. Really being missional in that respect. And I'm excited about that because I believe that's the place that God wants to challenge us. I believe that's the place that God wants to shake us. I am preaching some of this series with trepidation. I know one area that God's going to hit me. He's going to just knock me with a sledgehammer right between the old spiritual eyes and wake me up. And that is in the area of living a simple life. In the area of being able to let go of the grip that I am in the world. And the things of the world. And bringing me back to that place of simplicity. And that place of emptying myself out for Him. And seeking Him alone for all the pure and right motives. When we get into some of that stuff, man, that's going to rip me up. All right? And I know it is. But there's a part of me that says, yeah, I want that too. You know, I want that place. And I think that's true of all of us. You know, we don't like the hard message necessarily, but we do like it. You know, it's something that we don't want, but we deep down we really do want it because we know it will help us. We need that. And so the word needs to come. And I want you to be praying, even if you don't come and meet on Sunday mornings to pray for the service. If in your prayer time, would you just begin to pray that the word of God would begin to work like a two-edged sword on us? That we would really, over these next 7 to 8 weeks, we are going to get cut by God. All right? We're going to get opened up. You know? And the imagery I have is like someone who just comes and they just reach into a chest cavity and pull out a heart and just with a very amazing, unbelievably precise knife, they just slice it open. They don't die, they're not even bleeding, okay? All right, I just saw about three of you go. Okay. But it's just an opening. And there it is. And it's just like Jesus saying, here, let's just look at it. Come on, look at it. I'm with you. I'm with you. Grace is sufficient. I got you. I got you. Now let's just look at it and let's talk about it. There's so much love right here for you. But I'm going to open you up. And you and I are going to go there. We're going to look at these places together. And in that place, that was dead, I'm going to speak life. And I'm going to resurrect some things. Wow. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for us to go there. And I want to challenge us that we are doing this together. All right? Not remember, you're in the right tree now. You're not looking at someone else and going, okay, he needs to cut that one open. You know, Well, thank God. Finally, that one's going to get it, you know. No, none of that kind of stuff, all right? It's you and God. In these next 7 to 8 weeks, it's you and God, All right? And you, God's going to come to you and you're going to come to God. All right? Let's go a little further with this passage, all right? In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. I love that. I love that. There's so much humility in this. This is an amazing place. Rather, he, Jesus, made himself, all right, nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. Here's that H word again. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's where we're going. Oh, we're going to visit the cross so much in these next 7 or 8 weeks. We're going to live there, all right? We're going to have a table and a cross over here all of this time, all right? The table may change from week to week, and some of the appearance of the cross will change from week to week. But we're going to be mindful of Christ. Not just Him crucified, not just the cross, but Christ alive. Communion, relationship, having relationship with Him. We're going to take communion several times here. You know, we're going to deal with something and get cleaned up and set free, and then we're just going to go to the table and enjoy Christ again. It's going to be an amazing time over these next 7 or 8 weeks of you growing into the fullness of what God wants you to do. And I believe that during this time, God's going to birth in some of you some ministry ideas. I believe God's going to birth in some of you some burden. You know, you're going to start to feel heaviness, not because it's a bad place or because we're not doing the right thing or whatever, but simply because God is speaking to you about His heart and about His care. So when we talk, we're going to talk about evangelism during this time. All right? We're going to be talking about places that will challenge us to step out and begin to actually do some things for God. And in that place, I believe some of you are going to get a real burden. We're even going to talk about your marriages. We're going to get you to laugh at yourself and cry at yourself. We're going to talk about marriage during this time. And growing your marriage stronger so that as a couple, you can come together and pray. It's amazing how many husbands can pray and pray fervently, or how many wives can pray and pray fervently, but they never pray fervently together. And it's amazing how exacting and how clear the Scripture is about disunity in the household, and in particular the marriage, and how that hinders answered prayer. I don't want your prayers hindered. I want your prayers fulfilled. And so we're not just going to be praying vain words of repetition and empty words falling on dry places. But we're going to pull our marriages together, get them better and stronger and healthier and more unified. And then we're going to be able to pray more effectively as a result of that, husbands and wives. And then as we come together in the body and in prayer times, like Elder Dave talked about, we're going to be so unified together. The unity is going to command the blessing of God down. I have an anticipation that God is going to show up, all right? So let me kind of like draw the line in the sand today. I believe. Let me go a little step further, all right? I'll test the Spirit here, all right? Let me do that. I'll prophesy to you. Ouch. I'm going to prophesy to you, all right? As a man of God, as a pastor of the church, I'm going to say to you, in the name of Jesus, God is going to show up. God's going to reveal Himself. God's going to get in your world. He's going to get in your closet. He's going to get in your dresser drawers, all right? He's going to get in your wastebasket. He's going to get in your laundry chute, all right? He's going to get into everything about you. And it's going to be good. It's going to be good. He took on the very nature of God. Didn't consider this equality with God to be something that he needs to use. He didn't draw on that vast arsenal of dominion and power and authority that he had when he came, he took on the form of a human being, a servant, even if you will, not a king, not a regal person, but he's I'm coming as a servant in human likeness. And he humbled himself even to death. These are not things that we would draw on if we were looking for a good storyline and wanting to tell a good story about a great victory. We wouldn't talk about things like humility and humanity and death and all of those kinds of things. But that's exactly who Jesus became. All right, let's go a little further. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I don't want to build you up here and say to you, okay, if you humble yourself, God will exalt you. That's not where I'm going. Where I'm going is this: if we will humble ourselves, and if we will seek the face of God, and if we will let God explode in us and among us, something amazing will happen. And that is that in due season, God will exalt the ministry of Life Church. Not that he will put us up there so that everyone is looking at us and saying how good they are. And we won't start having monthly conferences. And we won't start having annual pastor leadership retreats. And we won't be doing all these kinds of things. That's not what I'm talking about. There's a couple of things I'd like for us to do corporately that we can thrust out there into the community and beyond, and we're going to unveil those to you in the coming weeks here. But what I'm talking about is God will exalt us in this sense, and that is that the Lordship of Jesus Christ will reign. The authority of the resurrection will rule, and we will see God do amazing things among us. That's what I want. And that's what I believe God means when he says he will exalt. I believe that he will give us the authority that we need and that is necessary for us to live this Christian walk and speak light into darkness in the earth and help people to be delivered out of bondage of sin and come into the marvelous light and the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, I want as much as you to see people healed. I want people in this church healed. We have people in wheelchairs. We have people who cannot hear very well or cannot hear at all. We have people who cannot see very well or cannot see at all who have come in and out of this church. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody or anything, but we have prayed. I have prayed for people. I will continue to pray for people. We have people who have debilitating internal illnesses that are taking them down and keep them sometimes from even attending a church service on a Sunday morning or ministering in some way. All right. And I want to see these people healed. I do. And I will continue to pray for them. I won't give up praying for people in this church. If you come to me and say, I'm hurt, I'm wounded, I'm sick, I'm afflicted, I'm bound, whatever, I will pray for you. I will pray for you and I will believe God with you and for you. And if God doesn't heal you in that particular situation, I will wrestle with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. I won't walk away from you. I won't blame you. I won't put responsibility on you. I'll walk with you as your pastor, and I will care about you, and I will wrestle with the why and the why not of God. But I believe that God heals because the Bible says he does. He is the healer. And so I await. I await. Even as the earth says that the earth, or as the Bible says, the earth groans in longing and waiting for the coming of Jesus. I will groan with you and long with you and desire with you for the revelation of Christ into your life to bring healing and deliverance and whatever you need. And I'll stay with you. I'll walk with you to the end. And if we don't get delivered until Jesus comes, praise the Lord, then may he come quickly. All right? May he come quickly. But if he tarries, then I pray for the healing of the church in all dimensions and all facets. All right? And I pray that we see that healing here in Life Church. And I pray that as the authority of God is exalted in Life Church, we are those people who are the blessing and the benefit of the promise of God. And so I stand on that. And so I'm saying to you today, I'm prophesying to you today. I don't have really a whole lot of notes. I just have scriptures up here mostly. But this is not in the, there's no notes that says, okay, now Bill, at this point you prophesy to the people. All right, that I stepped out in faith to say that just now because it was quickened in me. And I believe that the Word of God is alive today. It is active. There are no errors. There are no mistakes. There's nothing there that holds us back. And so I want to challenge you and I that we live in this place like Jesus, where we humble ourselves, and in due season, His authority and His dominion will rise up upon us. Then submit yourselves then to God. Oh, let me not go there just yet, all right? I'm going to go there in just a minute. It's James 4, 7. But I want to give you three things here very quickly that I believe are important for us. And this is in preparation, all right? And so here's what I want you to do. First of all, I want you to prepare this way. I want you to prepare to encounter Jesus now. I want you to prepare to encounter Jesus right here in the now. James 4, verse 7 and verse 8. It says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I love that passage. There have been times in my life when I have been so tempted to sin that I would go into a place by myself, and that's all I would do. I'd be driving down the road, and ugly, evil thoughts would start to try to enter my mind, and they would just bombard me and come against me. And I'd just start out loud, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. James 4, 7. Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. James 4, 7. And I'm just saying it and saying it and saying it with the intent that I believe it and that I can overcome those thoughts and take them captive. Part of what we talked to you about in the identity series, all right? Being transformed by the renewing of your mind through the ability of taking captive every thought and bringing your thought life into alignment with the truth of God's Word and living out of that place, transformation must happen because it's a promise of God. All right? Not making it a law, but understanding that it is a grace that is sufficient to move you above the level of the law so that you actually fulfill the law. All right? By the very life that you're living. Okay? So, we submit to God. We resist the devil. He flees from us. And then here's the beautiful part. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. All right? We're going to live in a place of purity. We're going to live in a place of single-mindedness and stability. The duplicities are going to go by the wayside. We're going to start to live lives that are powerful and dramatic for the kingdom of God. All right? And Jesus will come. If you draw near to God, He will come near to you. That isn't in the second coming, that is the now promise. All right? The second coming is a promise, but there is a now promise. You don't wait to get the revelation of Jesus at the second coming. You don't wait to experience Jesus' presence in the second coming. You have it now. All right? You draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Let me give you a little bit of an example of that. Look at John chapter 6, verse 16. It says that when evening came, the disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and they set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark and Jesus had not joined them yet. A strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, which would put them out into the middle of the lake, they saw Jesus approaching the boat walking on the water and they were frightened. But He said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." And then they were willing to take Him into the boat. And immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Jesus came in, miracle happened. Amazing thing, all right? But get this, this is interesting. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with His disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks, all right, when he fed them. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor His disciples were there, they got into their boats and they went to Capernaum to search for Jesus. Here's an interesting thing to me. I find it most interesting that those people who were in need and did not know Jesus searched for Him. They went to try to find Him. And those who were His own and lived among Him did not recognize Him when He came to them. Now, granted, the circumstances were unique. You wouldn't expect someone to be walking on water. I'll give them that. But this is Jesus, the Son of God, who called them and is unfolding teaching and revelation to them. And they are intimately together day and night. And they've been in boats together and they've been on this water together. But they don't recognize Him, and they are not welcoming in their spirit towards Him as they see Him coming because they don't recognize Him. Here's a slight application that I think we can make right here. In these 7 to 8 weeks, as Jesus is coming to us, we must be careful that we not miss Him and that we not misrecognize Him. That we not live outside of a place of expectation. That we understand that Jesus is coming. That we are expecting that. So don't sit there and minimize or diminish my prophetic word to you. All right? Don't embrace it because it's me. Embrace it because I believe it is the word of God. That God is coming. That Jesus is going to reveal Himself to you in some unique way. And He may reveal Himself to you in some place that you're not expecting Him. Second, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself to serve the King. Please don't miss God. Please don't miss God. Don't miss Jesus in this season, in this time. All right. Second, prepare yourself to serve the King. Look for a minute at Luke 12. Verse 33 says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Probably one of the parables is going to go right about here, okay? Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near or no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is a place that I think God just wants to grab us, just really get a hold of us. Prepare yourself not to serve yourself, but to serve the King. All right? Get away from serving yourself and being served as yourself. All right? And get to that place. The church isn't here to serve you. The pastors are here to serve you. We've made that commitment to you. We will serve you. We will humble ourselves and we will serve you because we believe that servant leadership is the right way to go. I'm convinced of that. All right? I want to serve you and we will serve you. But don't come here to be served by a pastor. Come here to serve God. All right? Get the priority right here, if you will, okay? And let us serve God. And then it goes on. He says in the next verse, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. I love that verse. Be dressed. Be ready. All right? Doesn't mean sit down and wait. Have you ever gotten dressed up? Just like really, 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 really dressed up? I mean, like you got the best. I mean, you actually like went out and bought something way more than you could afford because this was such a big event. And so you were so excited and you couldn't wait. So you got dressed. And you got dressed early. You know, I used to get dressed early on Easter when I was a little kid. I loved Easter as a kid living in South Georgia because it was hot and the flowers were out there and it just seemed like so much fun. And the magnolias were in bloom and I loved that smell. And you could climb up in the magnolia trees because they were the best trees to climb in. And inside the magnolia, this has nothing to do with this sermon, but inside the magnolia, there's this big like little core thing. It's like a seed thing. And you can just pull those out and throw them at your brother and bop him on the head. And it's just the greatest feeling in the world because you're up in the tree and he can't see you because the magnolia leaves are bigger than your face. All right? So those are my fond memories of Easter. I love that. But I would get up in the morning and my mom always went to Sears and Roebuck the week before and she would buy us a suit. And we got a suit every year. I mean, suit. I remember the first double-breasted suit I got as a little boy. And I thought I had died and gone to heaven for real. I thought Jesus has to come today because I am ready for him. You know, it was just the greatest thing in the world. All right? And so I would get up and I would get dressed and sure enough, Every time my mom would say, be careful. Don't put your clothes on yet. You're just going to get them dirty. You're going to ruin your clothes. And I would go out climbing the magnolia tree, ruin my suit, and come back in. And my mom would be so upset. But I couldn't wait, you know, because for a little while, what I would do is I would get my clothes on, and then I would sit there in the house, and I would sit there and wait. I'd put my hand under my bottom to try to make sure I didn't move or anything. You know, it's just like, okay, I'm waiting. And it just wouldn't work, you know, and I just would get up and go climb the magnolia tree. That was the thing that I did. I lived in the magnolia tree. You know, right now I live in the tree of life. It's a great thing. But that's the way it was, you know. But we don't dress up. We don't get cleaned up. We don't get prepared. All right. Robes of righteousness are not to sit in and wait. Some of us have this skewed idea that if I get right with God and get everything right, then I just need to be really careful and sterile. And I can't defile myself with the world. Well, Jesus blows that idea out of the water. He lived and ate with prostitutes and all other kinds of sinners. And I'm sure the list is all, okay? And he didn't seem to have a problem with it. He didn't seem to have a problem talking to them. He didn't seem to have a problem sitting by them. He didn't seem to have a problem with self-invitation. Zacchaeus, get down here. We're going to your house. If people invite themselves to my house, I don't exactly enjoy that. All right? You know, Jesus just says, Zacchaeus, get down here. That you're short is not an issue. I'm going to your house. Let's go. You know? Just invites himself in. Says Zacchaeus now has got to make him food and all, you know. But see, here's the deal. When Jesus invites himself, he doesn't just invite himself. Do you understand that wherever Jesus went, there was a crowd? So if Jesus comes to your house, it's like family reunion time. You know, everybody's coming. And the crazy uncle is definitely going to be there. Because that's who Jesus went after. The people who needed him. But he would sit there and he would share and he would teach and he would love. God's going to shake us up in these next weeks, man. He is going to shake us up. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter, the common, will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful for the master, and prepared to do any good work. There is a responsibility on your part. God did his part. He sent his son to die so that your sins could be forgiven and you could be cleansed. He sent his Holy Spirit to fill you and to empower you. And now you have the responsibility to make the preparation that is necessary to join with God in the work of the kingdom and to do the work of the kingdom. And if you will prepare yourself properly, not putting a law on you, I'm saying there's a grace here. There's a grace in this revelation that if you will make preparation, if you will do what God is asking of you, you will be ready and you can do the works of the kingdom. There is no one here that is outside of the ability and the privilege to work for God. He has something for you to do. Third and last thing, prepare for the return of Christ, the second coming, all right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. I'm going to read a ton of scripture right here. If you got your Bibles, open it up and look at it. And go to this place and read it again and again over the next little season, because I really want you to get excited about Jesus coming again, all right? The excitement of the return of Christ seems to have ebbs and flows. There are seasons of time in the church where people really get on it and they stay on it for a little while and then he doesn't come right away, and so then they wane and it kind of dies out and it's gone for a while and then it comes back, you know. And we don't want that. We want this sense that Jesus is coming and we need to be about his business, and that time is limited, okay? Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring forth with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. We're all going, all right? Got that? Everybody's going. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Man, that's good. That is really good. That needs to stir you. That needs to become excitement inside of you, all right? That's the end of chapter 4. Now, let's look at the beginning of chapter 5. Now, brothers and sisters, about these times and dates, we do not need to write you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Man, you better be ready. We're not going to know. We won't have a handle on that precise moment. So we need to be ready. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. I'll guarantee you, no woman who's had a baby in here lately has been able to escape that ordeal. All right? And those who are about to have them aren't going to escape it either. All right? There's no way out of it. When my wife was delivering, the lady in the room next to us was screaming at the top of her head, cussing up a storm, "Get this thing out of me. Stop it. I'm not going to do this. I don't want to do this now. I changed my mind." And I'm like, "Honey, you don't have to. It doesn't have to be that way. It really doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to go there. All right? It's going to be all right, you know." Well, it was too late. There was no changing. It was going, all right? It was happening, all right? She was giving birth. It came upon this woman suddenly, and she was there. And yeah, Jesus is coming again. We don't get to change this story. We don't get to rewrite it some other way. Jesus is coming again, and he's going to come and redeem us out of this place. But there are many who are talking about, well, we're going for peace and all of this, you know, and safety, and we need to come together under the banner of peace and under the banner of safety. No, we need to come under the banner of Jesus Christ as Lord, because the earth is groaning and the earth is shaking and moaning, and there is destruction upon the earth, and there are kingdoms that are falling and kingdoms that are rising, and things are happening overnight. And because we have such a global technological world, we can get in on the happenings of these things so much faster than ever before in history. And so we can see this kind of stuff going on and can know that the Bible is real and the Bible is right. And yes, there is this thing that is happening among us. And it all is because Jesus is coming. And there are going to be more questions and more concerns and more speculations in the earth as we go forward in this thing. And you and I have the answer. I just gave it to you. Behold, he is coming again, and he will redeem the dead and the living, and we will be caught up with him in the heavens, and we will live with him forevermore. Amen. Amen. That is the Easter message right there, okay? Don't be surprised that this is coming about, because it is biblical, all right? We got to go here. I've taken a lot of your time today. In conclusion, let me give you one more verse. Psalm 85, verses 12 and 13. Just after Thanksgiving, I shared a message in which I encouraged us to embrace a season of holiness. I asked that we all look at our lives and you know, back then we did the garbage cans and got rid of stuff and all kinds of things. You know, but there was this idea of holiness. And I used this particular passage, Psalm 85, verses 12 and 13. The Lord will indeed give what is good. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. And our land will yield its harvest. There is going to be a harvest. There is going to be a time where we are going to harvest souls for the kingdom, folks. And I love this. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. Righteousness goes before. It is preparation for movement. I want to challenge you in these 7 to 8 weeks that we grab a hold of robes of righteousness, that we shake off everything that is not like Jesus. We array ourselves in holiness and righteousness, and we go hard to find God, and we will find him. Let's stand. Get ready. Jesus is coming. He is coming. Get ready, because Life Church is going to celebrate. All right? We're going to enjoy Lent. All right? You're not going to be no grumpy Christian sitting at Burger King going, well, I got to have this dumb fish sandwich because we got to give up everything. Oh, no, 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 no. No. You are going to celebrate. You're going to look for something to lay down because Jesus is so good. All right? You're going to want more real life than ever before because God is so good. And so we are going to celebrate this season. And Easter Sunday, Palm Sunday, I'm going to have branches in here all over the place on Palm Sunday, and you're going to swing them and throw, maybe, well, I don't know what you'll do, but you'll have fun. Charity's going to kick it up, all right? We are going to have some fun, all right? Easter Sunday, we're not getting up early. Candace, I looked right at you because I knew I'd get a response from you. She goes, amen. We got so many morning people, and we are just not going to get up early. And we got too many babies, all right? We're going to have church at regular time, all right? And we're going to celebrate Easter, and we're going to rock the earth on that day with the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, hey, let's pray, all right? Just open your hands for a moment, you know, the old Hebrew posture of receiving. God, in the name of Jesus, would you right now impart new revelation to every person in this room of your glory, of your goodness, and of your presence. God, help us that we will be prepared. That we will be prepared, God, to experience you right now in the day in which we are living in a powerful way that you will reveal yourself to us and we can receive you. And then I ask you also, God, that you would prepare us to serve, that we would be able to give and to serve and to bless. And then I ask you to prepare us, Lord, so that every day we are awakened and quickened to the reality that you will send Jesus to this earth and he is coming again. God, as we are prepared now, and as I have prophesied by faith today to this congregation, Jesus, come and visit us in powerful ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day and a great week.